here. How are you, my friends? Everybody, my name is Anissa Bramowitz, and I help instructional designers and multimedia developers craft interactive stories. So if that's something you want to get into, go to elearningsecrets.com to learn more about my process. But here, what I wanted to do is share a quick tip with you so that you can apply it right away, get a lot of value from this video, and if you enjoyed it, let me know. I'll make more. So, okay. So one of the things that comes out in when I run my training and when I work with my clients is when you're designing an interactive story, a lot of times you're like, whoa, listen, Anna, the last time I wrote an interactive story or a story period was back in high school. I did that whole triangle thing and, you know, we did that. And right now when I craft my my stories, my characters for my stories, I find that they fall flat or they are like, uninspiring, meh, and I don't even know where to get started, because one of the things that happens to me is I have to, you know, engage a lot of people who are coming from different places, and how do you do that, right? So what happens is, you know, you try a couple of times, and then you go, maybe I'm not cut out for this storytelling thing, I'll just go back to, you know, the listing the learning outcomes in a bullet point. Maybe I'll just stick to that instead of actually trying story, because story, you got to be creative. Story, you got to be, you know, you got to be a good writer and all this stuff, right? And I'm here to tell you that you could actually overcome that. It's actually easier than you think. And the reason is because there is actually storytellers out there, story hacks that you can use that have been used for probably thousands of years. You can borrow from this, but a lot of the things that we do is counterintuitive. Plus, the odds have kind of been stacked against us learning developers, because nowhere in the instructional design book do they say, here's how to use story to help people change their beliefs and change their behavior. In fact, even psychology from this standpoint has been kind of like ignored from our domain. So as far as I'm concerned, for you to actually engage adults meaningfully, you gotta start using stories to augment your learning. And I'm sorry that odds are stacked against you right now, because, you know, if anybody pops on and says, but you gotta follow sound instructional design principles, where do they talk about storytelling? They actually don't. So don't even, like, let's ignore that, throw that out of the window a little bit. We wanna get a little bit counterintuitive, because this isn't a strategy that we're used to using. This isn't a strategy. E-learning is not a strategy we're used to using, right? We're still figuring that out. So let's optimize that experience for what it was meant to be, on a one-on-one, you sitting in front of the computer, you trying to get your butt motivated to actually go through the next 10 hours of, you know, onboarding, induction, training, whatever it is. How do you get somebody excited about that? How do you get them to actually take action? Because a lot of it is pain, right? So that's why you're trying to get story. I bet you, like, if you're thinking storytelling and stories, it's probably because you've heard of the buzz, or because you're like, I find stories engaging and I want to do creative work. And I know that I'm an adult and stories engage me. So maybe if I could put some of that passion and creativity into my work, other people would pick that up. And guess what? It's the truth. So a lot of times what happens is we get these stories. We try to implement stories, we try to create characters, but there's all this like terrible advice out there about how to create story. We have all this legacy stuff from academia who don't use any of it at all. We have all this legacy stuff from our own, you know, essay writing story stuff that is terrible and has nothing to do with how to actually create a compelling story, which has very solid, sound principles. And guess what? Hollywood is using this all the time, on demand. Every, you know, Pixar, blockbusters, so they're doing it. We're just like, we gotta borrow that stuff and stop saying, we gotta do things the right way. No, this is different, okay? So those of you who want to use story, who want to augment their instructional design skill sets, their multimedia skill sets, with a real way to engage people, to get into the content, to sell them on that journey, give me a heck yeah, and here's my tip for you. So one of the things that happens is whenever I come into an organization and I'm like, all right, we're gonna do interactive stories, when people hear that, the first thing usually out of their mouths is, yes, but we have to create a story that's really like broad so everybody can relate to it. everybody should be able to relate to the story because we've got these kinds of people and our people are really diverse and our people are all different ages and our people, yes, okay, good. And then I'm like, that's good advice. However, it's not how it's gonna work. And the reason is that what's common perception is actually wrong about stories. And what I want you to do now is to think about applying this skill next time you're writing a character in your interactive story. Next time you introduce Jane and John, I want you to get rid of those names even because they're generic. Everybody's like, Jane did this, John did. No, let's start picking real people's names in your stories, right? Adele, Julia, Jackie, Daniel, real people. Not Jane and John. I mean, there are Johns and Janes out there, but you know what I mean? Go a little bit deeper, give them some personality, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to give them a backstory. Just a little detail. And it's one of the things that people get worried about, right? Well, what if I write this story too much? And then they're gonna be like, oh, this is taking forever. You know, let me give you an example. To prove to you, and if at the end I prove to you that you connected with my character, I want you to give me a hashtag Anna did it. All right? Who's excited? Okay. So let's say I have a library of amazing sales training content. But the problem is the people who I want to be like, hey, you guys, you know how you're not making sales? Well, if you actually went through our like 5-step sales process training and went through all of these scenarios and stuff like that, you'd actually get a ton of value out of them. You guys would probably be like in the 20% because you get like we got simulations in there, we've got objection handling, we've got all this stuff, but they all think that they're either not good enough or they think that, you know, they're not getting the best leads, they're blaming it on something external, they don't believe that they can do it. What can we do to get them to start believing that they can get better and that we have all this stuff here sitting in our LMS that needs to be like, that's awesome, developed with like the top sales professionals in the world. Why aren't they looking at it? Is it because it's not sexy? No, it's already sexy enough. We just gotta get these salespeople to believe that they can learn this new skill. It's not innate. We gotta get them to see that there's a potential here. We gotta get them to see that the journey's worth it. So what are we gonna do? We're gonna create an interactive story. Wait, Anna, we got salespeople that are from, you know, 18 to 65. They're all over the country. They're from all different backgrounds. What kind of story? Who are we gonna do? But you know what? I'm just gonna pick this dude. And I'm just gonna draw him here. This dude, he's gonna be the hero of my story. I'm gonna call him Alex. Why? That's my dad's name. Let's go for it. So, Alex. And we're gonna say, Alex wants to be the top salesperson, and our top salesperson, what they do is every year we have a top salesperson convention, and the person who got the most, like, sales for their area, they get to win the awesome champ cup. And also the president comes up and gives him a handshake and says, you are the best. And you're like, Alex wants to do this. And you're like, okay, that's a pretty good extrinsic story. Alex wants to do this thing. Do I care about Alex at all? I'm just like, he's a stick person. Alex, okay? But what if I told you that when Alex was little, he got in a really bad accident and one of his feet, actually his whole leg, was really mangled. And he had to have a cast as a little child over his leg, which resulted in his leg being just a little bit shorter than the other one. And so he has two different length feet. And what happens is when he walks, he limps a little. And there was a little kid when he was little that bullied him about that. And so he always feels self-conscious about that. And every time he walks up to a door, he hopes they're not already seeing him so they don't see him limp, because he feels like they're gonna treat him differently because he sees himself as somebody who's got a limp, and that probably affects his sales. So he's got really low confidence, and this is affecting him. Now, every time he goes up to a prospect, he tries to like be there before they are, because he doesn't want to see them walk. All those kinds of things are always in the back of his mind. So he's always blaming this thing. If he doesn't get a sale, it's because he thinks, hi, it's because they saw me limp. They don't see me as this competent. Now, if I put you in a room, in a scenario, a situation where Alex has to make a decision about how to handle a sale, and you know that he's thinking that in the background, do you care a little bit more about him? Do you resonate with him, even though that's not you? You weren't in an accident and those things. You could say that in like four lines. But now, for him to get it, you want him to prove to the world that he's good enough even with his limp. Even if that bully said he was a cripple, even if all those other things happened to him. Him getting that is cool, but you know what's also cool? That not only is he gonna achieve that, he's gonna gain the confidence to go through that journey and overcome his little limp, which is not really noticeable, but he knows it's there. That's gonna be that intrinsic motivation, his confidence building, right? Confidence. In this case, that's what's important for this person, to start internalizing his achievement instead of putting it out there. Does that make a better story? Would you root for Alex now that you know he's got this thing? Listen, this isn't rocket science. You don't have to add more and more and more. You don't have to add sob stories. You just have to add a detail that makes this stick person, Alex, now real in our minds. We can imagine them. We can think about them. We can think about things from their perspective, because that allows us to look at things inside us, because they're a real person. I can't make a general blob that will appeal to everybody. There's no such person. We only relate one-on-one, right? That's why World Vision uses single children on their, you know, campaigns, because groups of children, we don't relate to them as well as we relate to a single child, right? That is why you don't go general in your stories. You go deep. You add details. Do you add too many details? No, you don't. You just need one story. But the thing is, what we're going for is we're trying to create enough detail that that person seems real. And when they seem real and they seem real, we start to care about them, because they've got a quality. They're like, we want to help Alex. He's, you know, I may not have been the victim of bullying, but I want to help him because he's real to me. He has something to overcome. This is his challenge. That is storytelling. So the thing is, where do I get this stuff? You can make it up, you can brainstorm it, but the thing is, if you're talking to people to design your interactive stories, guess where some of those details are gonna come up from? They're gonna come from your practitioners. They're gonna tell you stuff. I'm gonna say, what, you know, why did you want to be number one? They're like, well, you know, I've always had this thing about my limp and I wanna overcome it. Like, how powerful is that, right? And this is sales training, yes, but this is a story about a human being. And they're not in it for sales training. They're in it to achieve this. And all you have to do is say, when you've sold them on this story, guess what? They're gonna be ready to learn, and they're gonna be ready to get into that LMS because you've sold them the right way. You really do have to sell and persuade. Another thing that instructional design doesn't talk about. So let's not talk about the norms and the practices there, because this is different. This is before that, before you start all the other stuff in the LMS, well-designed, I'm sure. You gotta get people engaged in it somehow. And it's not gonna be by giving them a list of bullet points saying how this is gonna be good for you, because everybody knows ice cream's not good for them and everybody's still eating ice cream, right? But if I painted you a story about where milk comes from, you probably wouldn't have it. So what you need to do then is pick your person, name them, and what are the details? And then just experiment by putting it out there. People will give you feedback like, that story was way too long, or I didn't really connect. Well, actually the completion rates will tell you if they connected, but that's the point, right? So what you wanna do is be counterintuitive. It's not that your company's not ready for stories. It's not that you're not ready for stories. It's not that you're a bad writer. It's that we've got a lot of bad info out there. So I want you to be counterintuitive add more detail, make that person real, because if they're real to you, they're going to be real to your learner. That is the goal, because you want people to connect with that character. You want them to identify with them, saying, that could be me. Not like, I am that person, but that could be me. I could be struggling too. What did they do to overcome that? That's the key to interactive storytelling. So if you're serious about this, you want to learn more about the strategies, guess what? I've got an awesome webinar coming up. Register for it. If you're not able to attend, register for the next one. I'm running them live for just the next little while. So elearningsecrets.com. If this is something that one of your friends has been struggling with or needs that little bit of a, hey, there is a way to do this. You should try this. I know you're into interactive storytelling. Share it with them. That's what friends do, right? All right. So I hope you found this useful, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of the week, and I'll see you here very, very soon. Register for that webinar. You will not regret it. All right. Take care.